What does it mean to pursue God daily? To pursue Him daily. To meet with Him, maybe through Bible study, through prayer, devotional time, our God time. This daily habit of setting apart time. To being people who seek to meet God. I believe it's absolutely essential. But you don't need to take my word for it. There was a scientific study done, scientific evidence, done 9 years ago. It was a large survey of over 1,000 churches called the Reveal Study. And through that survey, 250,000 people were interviewed and surveyed regarding their spiritual growth. And the purpose was to figure out what are those habits or practices or activities that yield the greatest spiritual growth dynamic in Christians. And that study revealed that the number one correlation above all else is to pursue Him daily. Christians being in the habit of meeting with God through prayer or Bible study, that they found out that people that do that, that there is a power and a passion and a growth characterizing their spiritual life. Those Christians who do not have that habit, their spiritual lives are described as plateauing or in decline. And so I want us to be a church that is motivated to meet with God daily through personal Bible study, opening up our Bibles. See, I don't want Slate Hill to be just a church where people just seek Him on Sunday, but to seek Him every day. Some people say, well, do you think we should just reserve time with God for just 10, 15, 20 minutes a day? I want to walk with God every minute of every day. But we need focus. We need focus time. And when we focus our time, there seems to be this connection that forms. We stay connected with this little bit of time that we spend with God. Keeps us connected throughout the day and throughout our daily life. I would invite you to turn with me this morning to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. It's not very often that I only preach on one verse, but today, that is what is going to happen. Psalm 27:8 has this pursue Him daily verbiage by the King David. It says this, "My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I seek." This pursuing God and the seeking the face of God. But when we use those words, seeking the face of God, for some of us it seems a little weird, doesn't it? Seeking God's face. Some of the modern translations has even got away from that verbiage of seeking God's face. They say, well, come talk with God. But I personally like this idea of seeking God's face. I think it has rich meaning for us that will bless us. And I think if we just say we talk with God, we miss something in the translation. Face language is not only found in this verse, but it's found 24 times in the Psalms. This idea of the face of God, or crying out to God, or seeking the face of God. And when we understand the rich depth of seeking the face of God, the richness of pursuing Him daily, it will help us to understand this pursue Him daily. So then what does it mean? What does it mean to seek the face of God? I think there's a couple ways. I think the first one, it means that there's an encounter with God, that we are meeting God face to face. In this day and age, we have this new thing called FaceTime. FaceTime is different than just getting on the phone and calling. Now, with people's smartphones, and for people who aren't very smart on using their smartphones, it can be complicated. But you can, when you go to call someone, you have a decision to make. You can call them, or you can FaceTime them. And if you're calling to maybe say something that's not pleasant, maybe you don't want to FaceTime them. Maybe you just want to call them. You don't want to see their face. Or maybe you do want to see their face because you want to know how to respond and react when you're telling them something. But this encounter with God, this face-to-face time with God, allows us to go into more depth with our relationship with God. But what makes it more powerful and amazing for you and I, more than the FaceTime with one of your friends or family, is that you are having an encounter. You are meeting with God Almighty. And what we discover is that some Christians meet with Him. Many Christians don't. Several weeks ago, Haddon Robinson, one of the well-known preachers, died down in Lancaster where he retired. Now, Haddon Robinson was one of the reasons that I went to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. He was known as one of the 12 best preachers in the English-speaking world. And one of my friends, when I was talking about going to seminary, says, "You need to go to Gordon Conwell because Haddon Robinson's there." And I said, "Good, but I got one question for you. Who's Haddon Robinson?" "You haven't heard of Haddon Robinson?" "No, I haven't heard of him." "Oh, he's a great person that teaches preaching. He is a person that is great when it comes to preaching." And I'm like, okay, so I got his book, Biblical Preaching. And I read a little bit of that, and I got some interest in that. And to make a long story short, I end up going to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary up in north of Boston. And part of my experience in the seminary was I had to do a mentored ministry. I had to get involved in one of the local congregations. And I got involved in and assigned to First Baptist Church in Manchester-by-the-Sea in Massachusetts. I didn't realize it at the time, but Haddon Robinson also resided there from time to time. He wasn't there very often because he was out teaching and preaching at many different places. And I didn't have him for any of my classes in the first year. I didn't know a lot about him. I just heard about his reputation. But I remember the one Sunday in my first year of seminary, I was asked to preach at Manchester-by-the-Sea. And I jokingly asked the pastor, I said, "Now, that's fine, but," and I'm a little nervous, "but Haddon's not going to be there, right?" "Oh, no, he's out of the country." "Oh, good, phew." Okay, so, and we laughed about that, and I'm like, I don't really want him to be sitting in the audience. So I remember getting ready to preach. So we're there at Manchester-by-the-Sea, First Baptist Church, and the singing goes on and everything, and I'm sitting on the second pew, and I just happened to look around, and I heard this door creak. This is one of these old churches, and in walks two people, Haddon and Bonnie Robinson. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This incredible preacher is now sitting here as I'm getting ready to preach. And I started thinking, I started freaking out. I started thinking about all the things I learned about his methodology, how do you do preaching. And I know you weren't supposed to preach with notes. No notes were required in his class. You couldn't have any notes when you preach. And there I was sitting there with notes. And he's big on transitions, how you go from one point to the next and how you do that, and you bridge that well, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, I don't know if my transitions are good. I started going through all these things, and I get up, and I started preaching, and I didn't even look over to him hardly at all. And when I got done, and the worship service was over, he walks up to me, and he says, "Hi, my name's Haddon." He says, "Good word, young man." Okay, whew, okay, we're done with that. At least he didn't say, where'd you find that in the Bible? I was helpful for that. But over the time then, I took a couple classes with Haddon. and more in advanced preaching. And he was a tough bird. I remember one time in class, I was sitting with him, and I just get done preaching, and everyone has this like big exhale because he would look and he'd go like this with his chin, and he'd go like, "Well," and you didn't know. Sometimes he would compliment you, and other times he would just drag you through. And he said, "Well, Lynn, that was a good word. I'm not sure that's exactly what the text said." Oh. But I got to know Haddon because of our relationship where Manchester by the Sea and by taking some classes with him. And I found him to be a person who was humble and caring and had a deep passion for preaching. You say, "Well, Lynn, why'd you tell this story?" Well, I think there's a parallel on how it is with Christians. I mean, sometimes we hear about God. We have second knowledge about God. We know of God by reputation, or we're drawn to God by certain descriptions of him. And we may even develop an opinion of God. And others have read his book, and they got to know him better. Others have sat down and talked with him face to face. And some people have fallen in love with God with that encounter. You see, before that first encounter I had with Haddon Robinson, I only knew him by reputation. Now I knew him far greater. So the question I want to ask this morning is this: do you want to be a Christian that knows that there's a God out there? Do you want to know something about him? Hey, come to church on a Sunday morning. Be a Christian that attends regularly. Or do you want to be a Christian that says, "You know what? I know him. I've talked to him. I meet with him daily. And God knows me. Do you know that God and I are tight? Every day, we spend time FaceTiming each other." And you say, "Oh, Lynn, that sounds really good. Is it really impossible to be face-to-face with an invisible God? Can you really, really, Lynn, develop a relationship, a friendship with God?" Well, 3,000 years ago, King David used these words. He says, "Lord, I seek your face. And I desire for us as a church, and myself included, to do the same. To have face time with God. To seek him out and find him. To have an intimate friendship with him." And so I think one of the ways we seek his face is having this encounter with God. I think the second way is that we discover the beauty of God. His face conveys beauty. You've heard the phrases, "Behold his face." Or in Psalm 27:4, just a little bit before that, it says, "I long to gaze at your beauty." Now, I'll tell you, I have been to this place one time inside. Alta. You know what Alta is? I've been in the parking lot like 20 times. But I've been in there one time at Alta, which is this place that is made for beauty and all these beautiful products for your face. And after I've been in it one time, 20 times, I've sat in the parking lot. I didn't need to go in to see it again. Someone else went in. I won't mention their name. But when we say God is beautiful when seeking his face, we're not referring to his physical appearance, but his heart. His heart on who he is. We can say, "God is gorgeous. He's beyond anything we ever imagined." For us to say, we behold God. We behold his righteousness, his glory, and we are so in love with the beauty of God. See, those who understand how wonderful God is are those who have understand the attributes of God. And we find out the attributes of God by having face time with him. Pursuit of his face. We want to see his glory. And we do that in different ways. When we read something in the Bible, or something happens in our lives and we're not sure what's going on, and we go to the Bible, we try to figure it out, we pray and have FaceTime with God, you know what happens? Many times, we get a new insight. Have you ever had a new insight about God? I mean, something that maybe you sort of understood, but at that moment, after reading something in the Bible, maybe if someone's saying something, maybe you heard something on the radio, something happened that made you tick and made you say, wow, I never knew that before. Or maybe many times it's like something you already knew in the Bible, something that you read growing up, maybe in Sunday school, something that you heard 100 times. But God gave you a glimpse, just a little glimpse of his heart. And you're blessed with this discovery of a fresh glimpse of the heart of God. Something new or something already known taken to a different level. And what tends to happen is there's this intensity. There's intensity with this FaceTime with God. There's an intensity level as we understand the heart of God. And we start growing in his knowledge and his beauty. And it wants us to love him even more. And then thirdly, seeking his face, we can do that by his love. When we say, I want God, your face, to shine on me. We hear that in priestly blessings. May the Lord's face shine on you. And you say, well, Lynn, faces don't really shine, do they? Have you ever seen a face shine? I have. Well, when my daughter got married, and after it was all over and the nervousness was done, I saw her face shine. So don't tell me faces don't shine, because they can. They shine a lot. And so God's face is shining. God speaks of delight in you, speaking of his love for you, his emotions being conveyed of how much he loves you and cares for you, that he gives you this gaze and he sees love. And we can see his eyes of love in us. And when God does this, when we see his face, we see these eyes of love. But some of us can't get there, can we? Some of us can't get there because we say, you know what? I've come as this nasty moral failure. Lynn, you don't know what I have done. You may be right. I might not. But if you come as one who is repenting, through Christ, it's all grace and all love. God's face can shine upon you even in your broken condition. And that's why we daily pursue him. We pursue him when things are going awesome, which tends to not happen. We definitely pursue him when things are going bad. We can seek his face. And I think this is what God wants. I'm using my daughter twice in this sermon, and being that she's not in our house anymore, technically living, I don't have to pay her any money. But I remember Liz, okay? I never understood this, but I do understand it. Lizzie always wanted to sit on her mother's lap. From little on up, and I was waiting at 8 or 10 or 12 for that to stop. But it hasn't stopped, to 15. Surely by 16 it'll stop. No, she wants to sit on her mother's lap. 18, 19, I'm not sure about 20, but up through that time, she wanted to sit on her mother's lap and wrap her arms around her mother, even when she got older. You see, she may have grown up, and the tendency that we think that we're independent, we can do it ourselves. But she still needed the embrace of her mother. You notice I didn't say father. because maybe her soul was dry, or something was bothering her, or she needed security and reassurance. And I think in the same way, God loves and we crawl up into his lap and we look and seek his face. And we can say, God, my soul is so dry. I don't know which way to go. I'm struggling. My life is a wreck. Just give me a glimpse. Just a glimpse of your face. And then we return back to the verse. And I think the context of this verse is really important. The first line says this, my heart says of you, seek his face. David says that there is a cry in his heart. His heart is crying out to seek the face of God. His heart is longing to seek God. You know, I think about that. David wanted to seek the face of God. David had it all. He had palaces. He had fame. He had tasted the world. He had all opportunities to give what life has to offer. But that's why I love the Psalms. Because the Psalms gets real. And what David really longed for was more of God, to be able to seek his face. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard your heart cry more for God? You're like, Lynn, what did you say? Let me repeat it again then. Have you ever heard your heart cry for more of God? Do you ever have that inner longing to seek the face of God? See, I contend that every single heart has experienced that. Because that's how we were made. We can't find satisfaction in any other place. Oh, we might wrestle, or we might try, we might build bigger palaces or more fame or tasted things of the world. But we will come back to the same spot that David has come back in this psalm. He cannot find satisfaction outside of God. And then he says, have you ever heard your heart cry more for God? And then David says, my heart says of you, seek his face. Do you hear the desire of David's heart? The desire is just pushing out of this psalm, in this verse. And when this desire is pushed out, when he says, I long to seek your face, many of us have that. Many of us at different times in our life have said that. This desire for a more in-depth relationship with God. But notice what the next line says. David, as he thinks about the desire of what he wants, he makes a commitment. His commitment is this, God, your face, I will seek. David is giving a vow to God. The desires of his heart, and many times the desire of our heart and the things that we're wired in, many times get pushed aside and say, we'll deal with it later. But David stood there and he's expressing himself to God. He says, I have a desire. And then the next line he says, my commitment to you, God, is this. Your face, God, I will seek. David made a decision to seek the face of God. This doesn't just magically happen one day. It doesn't happen. I mean, some of you say, you know, my daily pursuit of God. I tried, Lynn, to seek his face. Oh, I tried to read through the whole Bible. And when I got to Leviticus, I stopped. Some of you say, well, yeah, you know, I tried to have some time with God, but life just kind of gets in the way. Our desires to seek his face requires a commitment to say, I will seek your face. And so if you failed, good. It's okay. We've all failed. You made a choice to do something and you failed again, that's okay. It takes perseverance. And sometimes we don't sense the presence of the Almighty God immediately. And in our world of instant gratification, we wonder, why? Why can't I be like some people that I know? I think the Reveal study is pretty insightful. If we want to go deeper with God, we need to pursue him daily. And I'm not going to ask you how you might do that. I'll leave that up to you and God. But I believe each one in this room has a desire to seek his face. How many of us are going to commit and say, I will seek your face? Let us pray. Lord, I can't believe, as I've studied this, I can't even believe that you invite us to seek your face. But this opportunity is reserved for all of us. To messed up people like me and many others. Lord, I pray that we might love you more so more can love you. Lord, teach us to set aside time, this daily pursuit of you. Lord, I pray that as that happens, our hearts grow, our love for you grow when we have this encounter. Lord, we desire to behold your face, and may your face, the face of the Almighty, shine upon us as we seek you.